Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly, a very upbeat, happy Cynic Weekly panel this week. I'm your host as ever, Louis McCaffrey, and I'm joined by my right-hand man, the salt to my pepper. I've used that many times before, but I think it's quite good because of the colour of our hair. It's Christopher Sormani. How are you, Chris?
Louis, you just keep going to the well and you just keep knocking it out of the park every time you say that. Yes, I'm well. It's great to be here. No Neil Lennon. Woo!
Absolutely. We've got plenty of celebrating to do, a lot to talk about, obviously. I'm also joined by a very handsome, a man with lots of hair on his face. It's Christopher Bowd. Brilliant. Great start, Bowdy.
Yep. Love a mute. Hail, hail, Lee. Hail, hail. That's what you are missing. A big bunch of Neil Lennon's gone. Hail, hails. How you doing?
I mean, I kind of liked it better when you were muted, but No, listen, it's good to have you. I like the energy there. Sometimes, Bowd, you're offy flat, you know, as Sormani would say, as flat as a witch's tit, but not tonight. You're voluptuous and it's lovely. We're also joined all the way from Germany by Graham Mackay. Graham sporting that just seeing that top from Seville gets me a bit emotional, but you're looking good, my man.
Thank you. I think my only contribution to team meetings on Zoom is just telling people that their mic's muted and then I put my mic back on mute. That's the only thing I add to meetings. But I'm also looking forward to maybe, because Gal still gets camera on this time, like maybe seeing something kind of suspicious happening with Gal during the podcast. Oh, he's gone.
The last time Gal kept his camera on for a full pod, he was just eating his dinner. And yeah. To be honest with you, it wasn't the prettiest. But anyway, listen, we've got a lot to talk about before we get to that. Obviously, if you're listening to this and you're not subscribed at thecynic.co, you will have an extra bonus free podcast this week, which is a Cynic collab with Time to Tackle. Obviously, Aaron Connolly, who's one of the Cynics, he is the brains behind Time to Tackle and the kind of driving force behind it. And he, in this podcast, he talks a lot about his own story, and there's a few other guys who are there to talk about, you know, different mental health issues and how best to overcome them and things like that. So it's gone out to everybody. It's a free podcast. Go and get it. It should be in your feed if you've subscribed to this feed on iTunes. So please give it a listen. I think it's obviously very, very worthwhile. And it'll be a great listen. So go get it. We're going to get into it. Neil Lennon's gone. We recorded a podcast last Tuesday. No one listened to it. You know, we could have said anything in it because the news broke. He's gone. The fucker's gone, finally. Sormani, he's finally gone. Why now? And how will he be remembered?
He's gone, yes. Good. Why now? That's the question. I suppose that's what happened last Wednesday. Well, obviously the story kind of rumbled about on Tuesday night, and then when we woke up, turns out they do inform the stock exchange of when a first team manager gets the bullet. So we seen that the next morning, and when that was confirmed, there was a sense of relief. But as the day went on, I just grew frustrated. I just thought, well, the question you've asked is why now? Why not before? And I don't know. I really don't know. That's the question that we need to ask. I'd heard some rumours that Lennon decided to go himself because the board made it clear to him that he wasn't wanted next season, and that prompted him to kind of hang up his hat, if you will, in terms of the job. But it just doesn't make sense. The timing of it, I mean, it was a terrible result, yet another terrible result, but there were so many breaking points for the support that he kept going past. So that's the question for me. Why now? Why did it happen now? I have no idea. The only solace that I can take from it is certain people who've been leaked things over the season, they're talking about director of football and talking about different models and stuff like that. So the one kind of positive that I'm taking from this is that they're looking for a completely new approach to things. But we'll wait and see what comes of that. His legacy, how will he be remembered? You need to let these things settle down. That's, you know, people will judge it in emotion. you know, in a year's time or whatever, depending on the situation that we find ourselves in the club, you'll think back and you'll, you know, with the benefit of kind of hindsight, you'll be able to better assess it. But without a doubt, it's been tarnished. It's been tarnished heavily by this season. It's been tarnished heavily by the way he's conducted himself, and the things that he said. So ultimately, you know, from the start of this season to now, Neil Lennon standing as a Celtic legend, if you will, in terms of player manager, has taken a severe dent, and only time will tell how much that is, I think.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we recorded the podcast, as you say, last Tuesday, and I think it was that night that the kind of rumour started, and there was a few articles about it. And I think a lot of people on Twitter were like, can you re-record the podcast? But it's just one of those things that's happened to us maybe a couple of times since doing The Cynic, where news is broken. It basically renders your podcast kind of null and void, which is a bit frustrating. But, you know, obviously we had spoke about the defeat to Ross County, and me, you and Ruth had been on the reaction to Manny, and you know, spoke about it, and none of us expected them to go. Looking back on it, I think I like to think that there is only so many of those defeats that you can take, and it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I know it sounds a bit ridiculous, and it's probably, you know, it probably takes more straws than we would like. You know, I think there's been so many negatives for this season and so many defeats. We would have had this done long ago, but I don't buy the whole, you know, he's decided to go and all that nonsense. I think that's the board just trying to give him a way out and seem like this kind of happy clappy club. They don't want to be seen to make tough decisions. I don't know why, when it's the exact thing that everybody's wanting, but bowed for yourself, you know, it's the number of weeks, man, months even, that we've been sitting here talking about Lennon, wanting him to go. He's finally gone. How did you feel?
Relief that it was all over, and that's it. Was there was a weight in the soldiers' shoulders on them too.
Volunteers.
It was just as you said though, it just should have happened so long ago, and I don't know if you're going to get around to talking about Frimpong's comments the other day.
Yes.
I think there's a lack of understanding there, and it's quite worrying that as a player he's thinking that. I'm not I think a lot of people are jumping on him. I'm not that bothered about Frimpong. He's a young player, wasn't here that long, doesn't really know what he's talking about. But the simple fact of the matter is, fans, you know, we've been talking about fans being in Neil Lennon's back. We were right. You know, we've been shouting about it since October, and we were proven right. He'd lost the league by January, and just should have went. Is his reputation tarnished? It's not tarnished. It's been ripped down and shat on. His legacy's gone as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think any amount of time is going to change that for me. Yep, he was a great player for us, but he's ruined it. You know, everybody knew that he should have went, and he held out. Stubbornness, greed, don't know what the reason was, don't particularly care. Shouldn't have been here. Shouldn't have got this far.
Graham?
I think for some fans, it's going to be kind of similar to the way the club are playing at the moment, almost as if he's like St. Peter or something like that. And I think he will be remembered by a lot of fans that way. But when you think about his kind of legacy when he was appointed as interim, no one in this podcast wanted him. Basically, it felt as if most of Celtic social media didn't want him either. So when you add that to what has happened this season, not just with the losing the 10, but the manner in which he's conducted himself this season, I think his legacy is in tatters. Like, it wasn't great, as I said, before this, and we didn't want him. And now we've taken that, multiplied it by a billion, essentially, and that's the way he's going to be remembered, I think, in most fans' eyes. He's going to be remembered as the guy that lost the 10. And whether that's fair, I mean, there'll be all the mitigating circumstances will be thrown up in our faces. Whether that's fair or not, I don't know. But That's the long and short of it. He is a guy that was in charge where when we not only lost the 10, but we absolutely blew it, and in such a bizarre manner as well.
Do you think it was? Do you think it was his decision, Graham, or do you think it was the clubs?
I think it was the clubs, and I think I mentioned on the preview. I think they've done themselves a disservice by giving him the kind of like privilege of resigning, because, as I said in the preview, it makes us look as if we've got such low standards that we found us acceptable. And one of the things that I'm just kind of like fearing is the fact that with the Scottish Cup coming back, we get a bit of momentum, we maybe take 4 or 6 points off Rangers, we win the Scottish Cup, and every single Celtic fan will be saying, why didn't we do that in January?
Yeah, it's, you know, we had the live reaction. There was three reaction pods on Wednesday after the news was kind of confirmed in the morning. I was on the live one with Ruth and Alan, but obviously that was one that people were phoning in. I must say, as my first time doing that, it's a very humbling experience. Like, I know we sit and we do this every week and we can see how many people follow us on Twitter, but see, having people come in and phone in, like, again, like, thank you to everybody that took the time to get involved, because it really is brilliant, especially Terry. I mean, if we can get Terry on the weekly, that would, you know, that'd be the highlight of the season.
The whole show was incredible, and big well done to you guys that were on it. Second best reaction pod of the day, but yeah, fantastic, the listeners and the podders doing well.
I didn't even listen to the one you were on, but to be honest,
exactly,
with you, but,
you missed out.
Listen, anyway, so, but the point I was going to make was, everybody, you know, pretty much the majority of the discussion for, let's say, 2.5 out of the 3 hours that we were recording was all about where we go from here. And it was very much, you know, no one was really taking the time to even think about Neil Lennon. And it was just a case of, where do we go? Which I found, you know, I found pretty positive, and it was good. I mean, a wee bit more Lennon bashing would have been nice. But Bowd, I'll come to you with this. You know, what would be the profile of manager required for you in a dugout next season? And management team, if you want to go there, because obviously there's been a couple of big names that have been linked to come together, but, you know, not necessarily individual people, but is there a kind of profile that you want to go for, and does John Kennedy have a role in the new setup?
So the profile, I suppose it depends. For me, if you're just talking about your kind of head coach, your manager, I'm not that fussed about there being some, you know, huge reputation here. Understanding the type of person we can get, but we've talked very much about this director of football or sporting director role. So I think that educates a lot of what you need from your coach. Hopefully you're going to have that experience in the director of football role, and your head coach can be someone, whether they're younger, maybe not, but really I want my head coach focused on players, on coaching, on improving players, on all the stuff we talked about, Lennon not shown, the number of players we've talked about that went backwards over the last year, you know, whether it's Frimpong, all these players who could have been improving, could have been helping us to tender, or could have been increasing our value. And that then feeds into keeping the best and the brightest of the academy as well. And we've seen a number of players go. So for me, it's really all about not man management, but the coaching side of the game, and actually being able to improve and develop players. That's what I'm looking for. Kennedy's another question. Right now, I don't think that looks likely. He admits it himself. I don't think the fans, I think, you know, you can sometimes be in a bit of a bubble, but I think the majority of fans, from what I'm seeing, don't want Kennedy near the club. I think he's been kind of tarred with the brush of this season. For me personally, I'm maybe not that harsh. I don't know if I'm just blinded, but most of my anger was directed at Lennon and those above him who put him in the role and kept him there. You can argue that, you know, Kennedy and Gavin Strachan were here this season, but I don't know if you get the best assistant manager in the world, does it really matter if the guy ahead of you making the decisions isn't doing it? So for me, Kennedy, I don't see him being here. But, you know, if he does something stupid, if he beats them twice, you know, and has a really good run of results the rest of the season, then I'm not against them having some part to play.
I think that was probably another, you know, as Somani was saying earlier about your reaction, Chris, was, you know, you're kind of frustrated very quickly after the news. I think that's part of it, the fact that they did what we all called for ages ago and just gave it to Kennedy, you know, and whether Kennedy's actually got a chance at getting the job full time and that's what this is about is probably slim, but he might have had more of a chance had he been given the job a month ago, 2 months ago, when really would anything have been any different? I don't know what you think. I mean, obviously what Boud's kind of alluding to there is more of a coach, and I don't know if that is obviously partly because we're looking at getting a director of football. And I mean, would Neil Lennon have been appointed manager if we had a director of football? I mean, surely he is more of a traditional manager than a head coach, isn't he?
Yeah, and just going back a wee bit, in terms of talking about Kennedy, that's what makes me think that it was Lennon's choice, and that's because the club were giving them the chance to win it, and then when they blew it, they said, oh, well, we'll just keep him in at the end of the season. I genuinely believe when his ego was told he wasn't going to be there next season, that's why he left. Because why wouldn't they have, if they wanted rid of him, why wouldn't they have put Kennedy in sooner? That's my feeling. I genuinely think the board didn't care. They were happy for him to see this season out. They were giving him every opportunity to win it, and then when he didn't do it, and then they finally realised that they couldn't keep him in for next season, I think, that's what I think. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my feelings on it. But with a director of football, Lennon, yeah, you wouldn't have got Lennon in under a director of football model, I don't think, which I suppose is why I think we need to do it just now. I'm more concerned about is getting it correct than doing it quickly. There's a lot of people I've been speaking to and they're saying we need to get the manager in, we need to prepare for next season and things like that. And I understand the need to do that. And we hark back to the points. We could have done that if we had started this process 4 or 5 months ago. But we're in the position we're in just now. I'd much rather we took a wee bit more time and got the right model in, got the right structure in, got, if we're going for the director of football, we're going for an up-and-coming coach, whatever, we choose this carefully to set us on the path as opposed to getting it in quickly to prepare for next season. For me, it's more important to do it right than to do it quickly. Kennedy, I mean, he's tarnished a wee bit in terms of the fact that he's been kind of part of this. This is the third regime he's been part of, if you will. And we've heard a lot of praise from previous managers, previous coaches about his abilities. But a lot of fans just look at him and go, well, they've not really shown up this season. And I think he's been tarnished a wee bit in terms of what the fans think of him. Plus, as well, if you're looking to bring in a certain calibre of manager or a certain structure or a certain type of coach, they're not necessarily going to want Kennedy. So Kennedy can't be part of the furniture because that could inhibit who you can actually attract to the club. You want to come manage Celtic, but you need John Kennedy to be part of your first team coaching. That's not the way it's going to work. So I think Kennedy's in the balance. You know, he's either got, the new guy might want him or he might not want him. And it really depends on that going forward. Again, I've just started ranting. And I don't know if I answered what you actually asked, but there you go. Thank you.
Ah, you kind of did. We'll come back to you in a second. Graham, what's the profile for you? What are you looking for?
I think I'm sick of the kind of feast and famine approach that we seem to have with managers, where we go from a big high profile win to like a budget choice the next time and back to high profile because the fans are kicking off. And ideally what I would want to see is us looking at the what the revenue would be from qualifying for the Champions League 3 out of 5 years, and then just dividing that revenue by five, having a working model as to what we want to spend every season, and just operating within that budget. Just not going after these crazy choices like Roberto Martinez is not going to come to Celtic and have like 500,000 net spend. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. So what I would want to see is us putting most of our kind of budget into getting the best possible director of football and the best possible infrastructure around, and then get a good, young, up-and-coming first-team coach. And just maybe it could be someone like the young guy, young boys. It could be, I don't know, the Granada, the Stuttgart manager, whatever. Just someone that's maybe just started out and can be with us for about 3 years and see us as a stepping stone to maybe try to get into the English Premiership. I also wouldn't be against, as long as we can get a really, really good, experienced and impressive director of football, I wouldn't be against us appointing someone with the profile of John Kennedy, because at the end of the day, we're not the size of club from a financial point of view. We can't be attracting managers like Roberto Martinez because we'll never keep them happy, because that's exactly what happened with Brendan Rodgers. If we want to spend that amount of money, we need to back that manager up with a certain amount of transfer spend. So we're, as far as I'm concerned, we're out of that short window. We're out of that phase. So we need to start looking at the type of manager that hasn't made it yet, but is showing very good signs, or a young, impressive coach that's maybe doing something as an assistant, or maybe doing something as a youth team coach, but just someone that can come in and be in a structure that gives them as much support as possible and gives them as much chance to succeed as possible.
Yeah, I think the Kennedy situation's a funny one. Obviously, we've been told so much about his potential and how highly regarded he is and everything like that. And I must say, see, when I heard him speak, you know, before the Aberdeen game and his interview after, obviously, the day after the news about Lennon and things, I thought he spoke really well. Well, I was really impressed with him. I thought, you know, see, if I was him, that's probably what I would have said. That's what I would have wanted to hear from him. Take it back to basics, you know, just simplify the whole process down. Don't overcomplicate things and take it game by game. And I thought the way he spoke was excellent. But I think, kind of as you're mentioning yourself, Graham, like, I think if you appoint John Kennedy, it would be criticised way more than anything else. I mean, if you think budget-wise, you would assume that he's not going to be given the budget that a big name's going to be given. So right away, your fans are going to say, it's the cheap option, right? So he's going to be criticised for that. Not necessarily him, but the club. And I also think it would be slightly disappointing as well. I mean, I don't think it would be, you know, is everybody going to rush back for season tickets? I mean, I know the season ticket debate all really did hinge on Lennon for a lot of people, I'm sure. But are people going to be like desperate to give over the money when they might not get to a game for a while again and things like that if it's John Kennedy? I just think it might be a bit flat if he gets the job. And I can't really see it now. And I think Somani makes a good point. If we get somebody else in, it should be up to them whether Kennedy stays. Kennedy shouldn't be forced upon anyone. So, Manny, I don't know what you think about the kind of experience or kind of potential argument. I mean, I think you've got to decide whether your director of football is going to be the one that with the experience or your manager is. I don't think both of them can be kind of young and just starting out. There has to be a balance somewhere. For me personally, I'd rather, I don't know. I did say before I'd rather a bit more experience in the manager role to maybe help the director of football just because of the names are linked. But, I mean, what do you think?
I think, I mean, the support seemed united in wanting Lennon to go, but you can already see that the support have got different ideas maybe where we should go next. I wouldn't be against somebody like Enzo Maresca. You know, an up-and-coming guy that was at Man City. He's, you know, he was at West Ham with Pellegrini. One of Pellegrini's jobs was at Valencia. I can't remember. He's been an assistant a couple of times. He's involved Sevilla. So I know he played for Sevilla. I didn't know that he was part of the coaching team there. But somebody like that, I wouldn't have a problem with. You know, it's different. It might not work. There is a risk to it, but there's a risk-reward ratio when you're going for guys like this, guys that might implement a style of football, guys who might have a greater grasp of the tactical side of the game, that you're not going to get if you're going for an established candidate. Because if you're going for an established candidate, as Graham says, you're shopping in a certain market. Now, with Rodgers and previously with Anil, we got them in, we paid top dollar, but they also had the Celtic man thing. They also had the either actual or perceived affiliation or support of Celtic from when they were younger, which kind of helped to sell the club to them. That's a small market, top class Irish managers that Celtic can go for. So if you take that away from it, you're then going to have to pay top dollar for somebody who may not want to come, because then you would make promises about players and things like that. So again, your bubble gets smaller in terms of established manager. Whereas if you go for somebody like Maresca, then I think that you could get a much higher calibre manager, but that does come with a risk. But you know what? CJ's playing it safe over and over again. That's probably one of the reasons we're in the position we're in just now, because we've just done enough to just tick over. Apart from when we brought Rodgers in, we've just done enough to tick over. And that's the issue for here. We tried it with Dyla, but we didn't have the structure in place, and Dyla probably didn't have enough of, you know, the respect. He didn't command the respect that he needed to amongst the squad or whatever. But I'm not against going down that sort of route before, trying something else, because potentially you could end up with something a bit more special than you would shopping in the established manager market.
I suppose the only thing for that is, are the fans ready for that though? You know, and how is it communicated? Yeah. I mean, we need to hear from a lot of people. You know, we need to hear from Don McKay. We need to hear from the director of football, whoever that is that comes in. You know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Director of football or a manager?
Yeah, for me, director of football is a smarter way to go, because, as you say, he or she should be having their input on the role of head coach. Something like Maresco, when you're talking about coach, for Sir Manny mentioned, I think is quite good in that, as much as he is young, he's still learning. Sorry, I've got a small cat here. He has, you know, he's got links in the game. He's got connections that might be useful. So although he doesn't have the experience, he's still worked at these clubs, especially working in the youth department at Man City as well. There's, you know, all sorts of maybe players that he might be able to link us up with. Just hoover up the Man City plankton. It's worked already, so go with that. But I think you want your director of football in first, and then they have their input on who you bring in as head coach.
You would like to think that we'd be able to bring someone in pretty soon, before the end of the season as well, give them some kind of like chance to get settled, to have a look at the club, have a look at what's needed. One of the things that's annoying me is the fact that we had these rumours for ages that whatever happened this season, we were going to move into a different model, blah, blah, blah. And now it just seems that we've just started the director of football search about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. And we mentioned earlier about Kennedy and whether he's got a place. Again, director of football is the person who should probably be making that decision. So if he... Or they, you know, come to the club now, or at least know that that's coming, then they've got the time to kind of make that analysis and look at the job Kennedy's doing and whether or not they think he can play a part in the club going forward.
I think very much so it feels like the pressure is off the club a bit. I don't know if you guys have felt that, but now that Lennon's gone, I mean, that was what the real kind of pressure point was.
The bust,
get Lennon out. Get him out. Not that there's not obviously a lot more that we want, but in terms of how quickly we're going to hear about these things, I don't think we're really going to know anything until the season's finished. Rightly or wrongly, I just can't see it, so many.
They need to give a narrative at the very, very least because season ticket sales. Because Now, I've said I would be happy with somebody like Maresca. And I'm not saying Maresca, I'm saying an appointment like Maresca. Like that, the idea that you go for somebody upcoming. I mean, that's not rare in world football these days. You can look at a number of huge clubs around the globe who've appointed people who maybe had a reputation as a player.
Not be a dick about it, right? But are people going to be ready for another Ronnie Dyla? Because whether it's just a lazy comparison or not, that's the last manager who was unknown to most who came in. And I just feel like anybody like that is going to be, oh, it's another Ronnie Dyla.
I was halfway through making my point and then you jumped in. That's bad hosting, mate. Now, since you took over this gig, you've been like a duck to water. See you right there.
Blew it.
Anyway.
Game's a bogey.
I said I would be happy with that sort of appointment. However, the Celtic support more broadly might not. And the Celtic support are the ones that, you know, and as a whole buy the season tickets. So they're in a caught between a rock and a hard place. Now, if they had won the 10 this season, they could easily have implemented a model like that and said, this is the direction that we're going in. Because of the catastrophic failure here, they might still want to do that, but they also need to punch season tickets. They need to hang that out there. They need to entice people. There's people that, you know, there's a core of 30,000 that will always renew probably, right? But then there's the other 30,000 who are, you know, come and go and they might not do it. They need to entice them a wee bit. Now, that's what I'm saying. They at least need a narrative, because if you could sell something like a new structure, you know, a young up-and-coming coach and an experienced director of football, that depends how they package it, but that might work. That would be the very basics. If they wanted to guarantee that Celtic Park would be full when it can be full and would sell all their season tickets, they would have to go for a Rodgers-type appointment. And the pool for that is really, really, really shallow. So there is a problem here. There is a problem. The very least, they're going to need to shine and package something up to try and sell it to the Celtic support, because that's the problem they've got, season ticket sales.
Can he polish a shape? He can throw a bit of glitter on it. Graham?
So I think Ronnie Dyla is actually kind of a teachable moment for us here, because to defend him a little bit, he came into a team that had the culture of the Neil Lennon team, and he was obviously trying to change quite a few things at the one time, and he was given basically zero transfer support. He was getting players like Colin Kazim Richards in, he was getting Carlton Cole in, Mubarak Wakazo was his name, Alexander Tonev, these loan players that no one wanted. And that's why it is essential to get the kind of director of football in, have a director of football having a meeting with, if you were to get a young foreign coach, and the young foreign coach and the director of football having a conversation about what exactly the club is going to look like, what kind of formation are we going to be looking to play, what kind of players do we want to bring in, the profile. Essentially, what we did the last time is we brought the young foreign coach in, and then she says, oh, just get on with it. We're not going to give you any support. So here's a few loan signings. Here's Karen Cole. Deal with it. And that's exactly what can't happen this time.
I think a big part of that as well, if you're talking about selling season tickets as much as, well, getting rid of Lennon, I think, was number one priority when it comes to selling season tickets. And that might be the reason that they actually eventually snapped, because he realised people are actually talking about not renewing. But you can have a younger, unknown manager if that director of football is either well-known or even, I mean, how many directors of football can you name? If there's a story there, you can sell it. This person has pedigree and they've got that. And also we're going to actually invest in the squad, which we have to do. The boat, there's no real choice there. We're losing half our first team. We need to invest. So I think there's a lot to sell there, even if you bring in a relatively unknown coach, even if he stuck with Kennedy, as long as you did something big with that director of football and something big with, we are actually going to support this new team with investment in the squad.
One thing I think with a director of football role, I think we talk about it a lot, but see in practice when the director of football comes in, you won't really know much of what he's doing, I don't think. I mean, he's not going to be in front of a camera very often, and he's not going to be talking to the fans very often, I wouldn't think, regardless of who it is, because surely that's going to kind of over, you know, that might step on the head coach or manager's role.
See that, and then you see John Collins play his abs like a xylophone, taking all the press off the young coach.
I mean, I'd love to see that. The only worry I have is who's leading up the search just now in this period we've got before Lowell goes and Dominic Mackay comes in. I mean, I know that it's been said that there's recruitment agencies have been tasked with finding people and that sort of thing. I mean,
does Lowell on the job?
Does Lowell and Mackay have a conversation, come up with the kind of remit, and then they give it to the headhunters and they go do their job, and then Don Mackay is the final say? Is that how it works, Omani?
Don't know, but I think we're basing the assumption on that final say sort of stuff on the Peter Lowell model. You know, it might be that Mackay's come in and his remit's like mostly the financial side of the club and things like that, and it might be Desmond, it might be other people that are making the decisions about the football side. I think that's the important thing. Lowell was all-encompassing. it doesn't seem as if Mackay's going to be in that mould, and that's why we might have a different structure. So I don't really know. The idea that it would be Peter Lowell's choice going forward doesn't sit well with me. But I don't know. Is this one of these times again where Desmond's get involved? I don't know. You've got to hope, at least for continuity purposes, even if Mackay doesn't have too much to do with the football side later, I'm making that assumption, that he's involved just now in terms of what direction and what shape the club's taking. But I don't know. And I suppose that's one of the questions. We're all going out and Mackay not coming in. These changes are happening and people are scratching their heads saying, who's actually kind of calling the shots in this just now? Who knows?
Just imagine Jerry McCulloch leading up the interview. Just five person interview panel.
Fake news.
Here's some questions you already have an answer to. Graham, before we kind of leave the discussion for, you know, of the news and the management and all that, are you more hopeful than you were a week ago? Like for next season and the future, you know?
I think it was the first time I'd been on the Celtic Superstore page for a long time, just looking at all the Adidas gear that I have ignored for months and months. So even just little things like that, as we were talking about in the preview, just thinking about the formation, thinking about player development and stuff like that. Just, as I said, and it was all a little dramatic at the time, but it feels like you've got your club back again. And it's not fully, like, I stopped myself on the Celtic Superstore because I was like, they're going to pull something at the bag here. It's going to be horrendous. So I'll wait to see exactly what they do over the next few months, and then I'll decide if I want to buy my dog a smaller neckerchief, Celtic neckerchief from the store.
It's probably not time to start going and giving them all your money just yet. But Bowdy?
Caffrey?
Frimpong? The wee shit. Tell us what he said.
I don't remember exactly what we're all over the top. We're giving them Lennon. We can't expect to win all the time.
Yeah, who is this wee dick? Who the fuck does he think he is?
Nonsense. But I don't. I'm not.
No. Don't you?
I'm not
don't
for attacking him.
No,
he got it wrong. He's talking.
This is why you're here.
I'm not going to attack. I love Frimpong. Oh my days. Oh my days. Still a Frimpong fan.
Louis McCaffrey, mild-mannered school teacher by day, but when he puts on a pair of headphones, he turns into Uber Tim. Anybody who has left the club is a piece of shit on his shoe. Once you do anything to annoy this boy, he will disparage you for the rest of your life. This is a guy that requested a £10 refund off his waiting list from Celtic Football Club. He does not take any shit. There he is, Mr. Angry.
He's a wee rat, a wee snake, a wee rat snake. A snake with little rat legs.
That's exactly what it is. He's not a rat, right? Because that's a position held only by a few. But he's fucking lower than a snake's belly, that boy. Fuck him. I hope his career amounts to the same as Paddy Roberts. Absolutely fuck all.
He's just a nice wee guy trying to be nice. The question that led to it, that's always the trick as well. He's asked directly, do you want to pile on to Neil Lennon? No, I don't. My ex-boss was fine. I mean,
he also said that he was surprised that Leverkusen wanted him because he was in no man's land. I mean, thanks very much, mate. We love you. You know what I mean? This is our club, but just a wee dafty. Come on, Somani, going. You can have a turn.
His comments completely bypassed me. I seen him talking.
You're better than that, aren't you?
No, who cares? Who cares, man? Is it symptomatic of where we are as a club just now that he's not got the winner's mentality that we needed as a squad? Aye. But it's his fault. It's the manager's fault.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
another reason to just...
He's a big 12. Do you know what I mean? It's not as if... He's basically just went up there and went... And I mean, the fact if he did say that quote about, I don't know why Leverkusen wanted me, fuck's sake. You know, you just want to go, hey, ball, man. All the best for the future. And then we'll leave it at that.
think we heard in the first part of the season that the players weren't really seeing the kind of hoo-ha that was going on. They weren't really affected by it. So I think we've maybe tried to downplay the 10 so much to try and keep the pressure off the players. We've downplayed it so much that no one gave a fucking end. But I'll tell you who wouldn't say things like that in the press. Anthony Ralston. Bring him back. Get him in at right back.
Big Ralph Chops. Aye, Ralph Chops would never do that. He knows where his bread's buttered. But fuck Frimpong, seriously. No, fuck him.
And then Ralston gets signed by a German team, heads to the Bundesliga, starts skipping all that as well.
Bundesliga. Graham, what's the sixth tier of German football?
Oh, it splits into different pyramids and shit, man. It's like the Bavarian lower league or some shit.
He's in the league below that.
Yeah. He had Neymar in his back pocket. Anyway, Graham,
big shout out to Ralph Chops. That right back, you can make that yours your own for the season. I like to praise our players, Lauren, like yourself, you know.
I just love it when Frimpong gets sold and El Hamed gets sold and then Ralston was there thinking maybe this is my time and then we sign a loan player from Everton.
Yeah. Oh, Kenny, man, please don't keep him. There's stuff in the papers today that we can get him on a cup price deal. I no wonder. No. Get him in the Bundesliga sixth tier or whatever. Graham, did the game against Aberdeen show that the issues with the team are deep-rooted, and what is realistic for the remaining games?
I don't think it did, and I think Kennedy did some good for his kind of his reputation as well. If you were kind of like watching carefully, I think some of the little tweaks that he was making during the game, the fact that I've got it written down here, in the first half of the game we made 461 passes, which is only about 120 less than our average for the whole season, over 90 minutes, and we did that in the first half. So I think he was trying to implement something quite quickly. He only had a couple of days to do it. And he was trying to think, I think he was trying to change the way that we're playing, try and get the ball moving about more. I think we were a bit more decisive and incisive going forward. So I think with a full week of training and a full week of trying to get his message across and maybe being aware of how the game's panning out. We saw that when he brought on Soro to play alongside Brown. It was something you never saw under Lennon. It just seemed to me that Kennedy was showing that maybe it wasn't a case of him being inept. It was a case of him being maybe not listened to by Neil Lennon. I think there was some, especially in that first half, there was quite a few bright shoots. I think Klamala, I think he did a kind of thankless task. He reminded me a bit of, I wouldn't say Celtic legend, probably not Celtic great, but Celtic star, Kenneth Miller, in that he was basically doing a lot of the hard work and creating a lot of space for Edward on the match centre on the subscription of the Cynic. You can see that I think it was Eddie's most passes of the season. And so by Klamala kind of buzzing about like a bee, doing that kind of Celtic star, Kenny Miller's raison d'etre, you could see that there was something in Klamala and he could be useful. And there was just something else happening with Kennedy with regards to the team. It just felt as if we were playing a different way. And also, even in the second half when we dropped off, it didn't feel as scary. There wasn't that last 10 minutes where we were terrified of crosses coming into the box and stuff like that. It just didn't feel that bad. So hope for the rest of the season. I'm genuinely on the Kennedy kayak. He can win us the Scottish Cup as far as I'm concerned.
Listen, we would all love to see it. I think it was very much, you know, the first half, obviously, we looked to dominate and, like, listen, we often do, but you could see that we were a lot more kind of controlled in possession and willing to pass it about. And maybe there was a wee bit of kind of style from previous years in terms of that kind of ball retention and being a bit more methodical with it, a bit more patient with it as well. Obviously, he made some changes, some interesting changes, I thought, when I saw the team came out. You know, obviously, Lacks out coming back in, but of course, that's because your man's Taylor is injured. So he kind of didn't have much choice there. But obviously, as you say, Graham, the Klamala one, starting up front, I mean, it does make you wonder, you know, is it all about, because I know Lennon's always been big on and he has to trust players. Has it just been that Carvalho's maybe been, you know, he's been doing all right in training, you know, maybe not, you know, star of the show, but doing well enough. But Lennon's just not trusted them, whereas Kennedy maybe sees more of the kind of footballing ability that the boy has and he has a chance to play. I'd like to see more of Clamala personally. I think it'd be good to see him again. The other thing, Boud, I'm sure you'll have a hot take on Browntown. You know, Brown starting instead of Sorrow disappointed me right away. I was gutted when I saw that because I really hoped that Kennedy would bring Sorrow in. But I must say I agree with Graham in the fact that he was maybe a wee bit more intelligent with it when the game was getting to a certain point, brought Sorrow on as well and had the two of them to shore things up. Shows a wee bit of a kind of, I suppose, what they would call in-game management, you know, just changing it enough to get the points, you know, rather than maybe bringing on another striker to go and get another goal. What kind of stood out for you in the day?
Yeah, that's, I mean, looking at the lineup, that disappointed me as well, was kind of hoping Sorrow would start. Bain as well, although the fact that Barkas isn't even on the bench suggests he's injured or there's something else going on there where he shouldn't have been starting. But for me, I would have quite liked Barkas just getting a wee run as well. But I think... Was it...
Did you see enough that was different, I suppose?
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't, I don't think anyone's saying it's an excellent game, it wasn't fantastic, but as Graham touched upon, you felt more comfortable, and maybe part of that is just the relief, because it was the first game in a long time I went in actually quite, you know, excited, looking forward to watching it, because for a long, long time, I have not looked forward to watching Celtic, which is sad, you know, that's why we're all fans, we want to enjoy it, and just in this kind of no man's land of wanting Celtic to win but wanting Lennon gone, it's been a bit of a cursed affair watching Celtic recently, whereas that was gone. It wasn't a perfect game, but he did enough against Aberdeen to get the points, and we'll see what he's got next week.
Manny, you were pretty scathing in the WhatsApp group towards the end of the game.
Yeah, I thought we fell off a cliff in the second half. I think people wanted us. I do think it looked a bit different in the first half, but I think people maybe magnified that more than it was in reality. And I think the main reason we fell off a cliff in the second half, I think our fitness is shocking amongst that squad. I really think that you could see that the squad really lack fitness, which has affected our performances, because as much as it's a very short period of time for Kent, even though he knows the players because he's been there since 1942 or whatever it is, and they're aware of his methods and things like that, you know, it's a short period of time for him to kind of implement anything different, right? But it did, there did seem to be more of almost, a Rodgers style was the easy comparison to make, so I'm going to take that one, and almost a kind of a Rodgers style. But in the second half, I think we reverted. We kind of got really sloppy. But I think most of that's to do with our condition. There really seems to be an issue with conditioning amongst that squad. And I think that's affected our performances. So, I mean, if we had kept up what we had started in the first half, then you might have went, wait a minute, this is pretty good. But towards the end, I was just like, when is this going to end? It was just like watching Celtic under Neil Lennon towards the end. And that's, you can't really blame Kennedy for that because of the period of time he had. But if he's got any kind of ideas of, well, one, getting the job, let's hope not, but two, staying on the coaching staff, he's got to show, he's got to prove his Spurs between now and the end of the season. And it might be, one, getting their fitness up, and two, trying to implement a style that can be played consistently over 90 minutes, because frankly, we've not seen that this season.
Do you think the expectation, I mean, I kind of think the expectation is that he gets this team performing. I mean, I know it's a short time, but then, you know, if he's got maybe the Scottish Cup to be involved in as well, you know, that adds a bit. But I don't think the fans are going to be necessarily happy to just see us bob along to the end of the season. You know, I think Graham alluded to it earlier on, you know, he's got a whole week this week to work with the players without the baggage of the news. You know, he can just focus from game to game. We're away to Dundee United this Sunday, I believe. You know, that, and after that game, we've got a week off until the Rangers game. Yeah. So again, he's got plenty of time before that Rangers game to come up with a plan. Not that I want that to be the focus, but I think naturally that will be the stage that he tries to really excel on. But I think this week will be crucial. I think the expectation, certainly from my point of view, I don't know what other people think, but my expectation is that we do see something different and we see it's for a 90 minutes at the weekend. Anybody agree with that? Do you think that's fair?
I really think he needs to get wingers back fit, and that will determine what he's doing with the squad, because I don't think he's happy with the formation that we're having to play. So, I mean, Forrest came back into training, what was it, about 2 weeks ago? So, I mean, with another week, you could maybe see him being on the bench. I don't know what's going to be Mikey Johnson, but we need...
Yeah, Johnson not on the bench again. I mean, I take it he's injured again. Who knows?
Aye, it's he's kind of, the thing about Kennedy is he's hamstrung by that transfer window. The transfer window where we built a team for a 3-5-2 and then bend the 3-5-2 after about 2 weeks. So it's going to be hard for him. But I think with his, I'm really positive that I think we'll go unbeaten for the rest of the season. That might just be me being ultra positive and havering, but I just feel as if we're going to go unbeaten. We'll probably get beat by Dundee United.
I thought it was interesting he only used 2 substitutions. You know, I thought it would maybe tinker more, but maybe he's more, I don't know, maybe he's more smart and to kind of mess with, if it's working, why change it kind of mentality. But, you know, again, the likes of Ajeti, the likes of, I suppose, Griffiths on the bench, a random wee guy in Adam Montgomery. I don't know if his ma wants to come get him, but I don't know who he is. But do you think we'll see a formation change, Samani? Do you think we'll see anything more elaborate in terms of changes from him? Or
I don't know. Graham's alluded to that he needs to work with the tools he's got. And again, he said that we recruited this season with a 3-5-2 in mind. And then when that didn't work, it was catastrophic. And I think that really, really did kind of contribute to the disaster of the season. I mean, you've got guys like Ajeti, clearly couldn't play a lone striker role. It was always meant to be part of a two. You've then supposed to have, like, you know, we've got the situation with the fullbacks who need to get up and down, you know, and, you know, Greg Taylor was never going to be able to do that. I mean, we were talking about, I know we get Lax out and eventually, but we recruited, not only did we recruit badly for a 3-5-2 to an extent in terms of at fullback, we then left ourselves majorly short going forward. So I think Kennedy's got, you know, he's got to kind of polish a turd, as you said earlier on, you know, because he's going to need to stick with a formation that he may not want to play based on the personnel he's got. I mean, Graham's talking about Forrest coming back. I've just counted him out for the season, to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't want to rush him back on the basis of this season if it's going to kind of set him back next season. And on the left, well, El Yunusi, hot and cold. Mikey Johnson, I'll just do the Lennon gif when I'm talking about Mikey Johnson for this season. Do you know what I mean? The guy's, you know, he's not going to make that breakthrough. So I don't know. What I would like to see is a consistency of performance. That's all I'm looking for. I'm not going for anything more than that. If we're consistent, if we can start to turn in decent performances that don't just come in patches, that'll be an improvement for me. That's all I'm really looking for.
Really control a game for 90 minutes would be absolutely ideal, man.
Yeah. Right, okay, a couple of questions to finish up. Bowdy, we'll come to you. Jamie67 asks, with the news of Brown's contract decision being up to him, I really hope that's just paper talking, not true. Do you think we'll sign another 6 in the summer who is an upgrade on Sorrow, or do you think we'll likely just have the 2? Brown will need to play even less next season, but struggle to see us having 3 in that position. What do you think?
I hope we do sign someone else. I mean, obviously an upgrade in Sorrow would be fantastic. Does there need to be an upgrade in Sorrow? Not necessarily. Sorrow looks decent. Again, just bringing in someone that's young, has got potential, but is good enough to get some starts next season would be good. We've got options, you know, McGregor can go back and stuff like that, but aye, I would very much want a midfielder in the six role or more kind of defensive role brought in this summer.
How much of a worry is it, the idea that Brown could have the decision himself? He can take the decision himself whether he stays or not. I mean, isn't that just a bit of the, could it be a bit of the Lennon about him? You know what I mean? That we're waiting on him to make the decision and all that sort of stuff? I mean, that's not right.
It's madness. I don't know. It just, as a starter, Scott Brown isn't there. He hasn't been there this season. He shouldn't be there next season. If you feel that he's got something to add to the coaching staff and you want to do something where he's paid a lot less and maybe gets half a dozen games here and there and is more working with the players, maybe. I've no, you know, we've got no idea how good he is with young players and helping them along as a coach. But yeah, no. A club legend, a club hero, but he should not be considered as a first team starter next season or even someone that's got, you know, 20, 25 games. That's beyond them now.
I think Brown as well is a wee bit more tarnished this season in the eyes of the Celtic support. I mean, I've said it a few times and others have kind of alluded to it as well. In the 10 season, he should have been Tom Boyd in the season, you know, and Martin O'Neill's treble season. You know, a figurehead. He was there. He got very, very, very limited game time, but he was a figurehead. I actually wouldn't have a problem with that, because if we're talking about turnover, if you're replacing your CEO and your manager, potentially your first team coaches and your captain, that's huge. But that would only be on the caveat that he is going to play that Tom Boyd figurehead role, and I don't know if he is. So if you said to me if he stays or goes, and I wouldn't be guaranteed that he wouldn't be seen as a regular first team starter, I'd prefer he went. But if he was there in a sort of a continuity role and he wasn't going to be on the pitch that much, I wouldn't be against that.
And I don't, not to be the big Brown stan, but I don't think he's tarnished as much this season, because, you know, as much as Lennon could have chose to go, I don't think Scott Brown can turn around and say, why are you picking me? Soro's the better man for the job. Don't pick me. You know, if he's picked to play, he has to play. And this happens with all players. If you keep a player at the end of their career, you'll have a season where they're not as good. And again, it's just down to the manager to make the hard decision and say, right, you know, you've been at the club for X amount of years, you're the captain, but you're taking a bit of a back role this season. So for me, it's been a bad season for Scott Brown, but I don't think you see that then tarnishes his career with Celtic.
Get him out, Sean.
The whole like, is it better to burn out or fade away? It's the thing about Brown is his reputation this season hasn't been tarnished with me because of his playing ability. It's his interviews, it's the way he's spoken about the fans, it's that kind of stuff that makes me think he just comes across as a real company man. And remember when Neil Lennon, the footage of Neil Lennon coming in as the interim, and he looked as if he was doing like the walk of shame after a wedding the night before. Remember, he was wearing that kind of weird suit with the shirt open, and they had that big celebration when he came into the room that Scott Brown was in. It just feels like that, see that Lawwell Brown Lennon kind of triangle. It feels to me that Brown feels that he is assured of some kind of coaching role at the club. He doesn't want to speak out against Peter Lawwell, he doesn't want to criticise anything about the club. And he just, that is what's tarnished Scott Brown for me this season.
Assistant to the regional manager. That's what Brown's got in his business cards.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's felt like. As for playing, I wouldn't want to be giving him that much money, as Bowd said, if he can do some kind of coaching thing. Ideally, I wouldn't want Brown to be our future manager, because I want somebody with a bit more intelligence as our manager, but he's probably got quite a lot about him. He's always the one that's running the head of the pack at training. So he could come in as some kind of coach for performance, coach for some kind of like making sure that a fitness coach kind of thing. But ideally, I'd want coaches in with a bit more tactical acumen that Dan O'Day and Stephen McManus always sound really like almost as if they know a lot about the game, whereas Brown, it just seems to be he thinks that he needs to get it up the other team and that will be the way to win the match. I can see him wanting to stay because he's lost the 10, and I can see him wanting to get it back from Rangers, but it doesn't seem to me the best kind of football decision to make to keep him on for another year.
Yeah, I did say that, you know, I kind of alluded to the fact that we were finishing, and we definitely will in a couple of minutes. One thing I kind of forgot to talk about earlier, or I wanted to mention, was the rumour about Sean Maloney. Obviously, Sean Maloney's putting himself out there a lot. He's, you know, he was on Sports Scene the other night. He's been, he seems to be in the kind of Scottish media a lot just now. Do you think that's, you know, what are people's thoughts on Sean Maloney? Could you see him even coming himself to be the manager?
It's all about the Martinez-Dorf Sean Maloney manager. That's your sweet spot, probably.
I still haven't forgiven Maloney for that free kick in Seville, so he can fuck off, as far as I'm concerned.
That's low levels of grudge, so I've put my hat to you there, Graham. Maloney might, you know, would maybe fit the bill as that young, up-and-coming kind of football coach guy, right? But see, because he played for Celtic, and he's about the same age as me, you're just a wee guy, and you cannot be the Celtic manager. You know, when I see him in Sports Scene the other day, I'm like that. He doesn't have the stature.
He is a wee guy, but the problem is when Sean Maloney's 75, he'll be a wee guy. He's just one it. Slip Burchell, just a wee guy, always will be.
When Maloney's 75, I'll also be 75. I just thought I'd put that out there.
But you'll be an old man, so man, you're an old man now. You're like me.
It's true. Aye, you'll not be looking like Sean Maloney. You'll not be looking like a wee guy. You'll be like a used tea bag. But
you're the ultimate wee guy, Louis.
I know exactly. Listen, before we go,
we Fanny, thank you.
Primple.
You.
Right, before we finish up, another question from Rory Kearney on Twitter. He said, can we get a Louis McCaffrey approved top five list of Celtic fan songs from 2010 onwards? What I thought we would do is we'll go for one each. I'll go for two since it was directed at me, but we'll, you know, it's been a long time since any of us have been at a game in Celtic Park. What, you know, if you could be there the now singing a song, not aiming abuse at Neil Lennon, songs about players, let's go for something like that. What's your favourite? Boud, come to you first.
Maybe a wee bit sentimental, but Fields of Athlone Rye, I'm a fan of that blasting out across the stadium.
Wow, it's pretty staunch. I was going to go for the Victor Wanyama song. Victor Wanyama. I love that song. I know that there's like nothing else to it, but I just like it as a song. And the other one is Henrik Larsson is the King of Kings. You've got That's to have a hymn in there. You've got to have a hymn at some That's point. Good. So, Manny?
I think the one I enjoyed the most over the few years has been the I Want to Be Edward. I think when that gets going and the Green Brigade are the drums and stuff like that, when we were on form, it's not maybe not my favourite, but in the recent years that was an absolute classic. I also like the Stuart Armstrong song.
That's a belter.
And he scores belters all the time, so yeah, no, I like the Armstrong song, but I think atmosphere wise when I Want to Be Edward kicked in, that could be really, really good, so I'd choose them too.
Graham?
I really liked Munich away game in the Champions League, going down to the subway and all the fans were singing "This is the day that we win away," which it wasn't, but that was a special atmosphere, especially seeing all the kind of people coming back from work absolutely terrified about what was happening in the train station. So aye, this is the day that we win away.
There you go.
Also, memorable mention to Glasgow's green and white, just the back and forth between the areas of the stadium. Fan of that.
Yep. Listen, it won't be long. Won't be long till we're back singing all these tunes, I'm sure. Listen, it's been another good episode. Hopefully nothing breaks tonight. You know, I don't know. I don't know what could, like, Scott Brown could quit or something. I don't know. Hopefully the podcast is still relevant tomorrow. One person who will still be relevant tomorrow is Chris Salmani. Thanks very much, Christopher.
Thank you, Louis. Pleasure as always.
A total irrelevance. Nah, I'm only kidding on bowed. Thanks for joining us, Christopher.
That's fair. Hail, hail. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hail, hail. I like that you're still doing the hail, hail thing. It's good. I enjoy that very much. And Graham, thanks very much for gracing us with your presence.
Pleasure was all mine. I would add, though, that the hail, hail thing kind of came in at the same time as our season, and basically life started to fall apart. So maybe something to think about.
I blame everything on Bowd. Anyway,
I stopped it until Neil Lennon went, and now it's came back.
God. Right, we're going to leave it there. If you didn't, if you haven't done so already, please check out the Time to Tackle podcast, which is part of your free feed this week. This has been the Cynic Weekly, and we will speak to you down the road.